Trust you've been enjoying your worship, connecting to God. It's a privileged opportunity we have on Sundays to gather and meet and refresh our hearts and minds. My prayer is that this Sunday and each Sunday as we meet, that this would be a day we would actually especially be looking forward to. It's a day of joy, the one day when we can count on to connect with God. Trust that's happening this morning and will happen now as we connect with him afresh in this scripture encounter we call preaching. The text this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, a familiar verse, verse 15, to a number of you. I don't claim to be an expert in North American Christianity, but having lived in these circles for a number of years, about 40 years as a Christian, something tells me that we aren't doing so well in terms of speaking for Christ. That we could do far better as God gives us opportunity to share the hope that we have in our hearts and which has brought us here this morning. And I preach to myself as well. Now, historical context, we can't say for certain, but many scholars now are of the opinion that this Peter was written, 1 Peter, prior to Emperor Nero's reign of rule or reign and rule of terror. For a while, it was thought that it might have been written while the Christians were really under persecution. But the popular opinion now is that they were on the eve of persecution. In fact, in the book of Acts, we see Stephen being stoned to death. And the Christian church for 300 years off and on was persecuted, sometimes more harshly than others, up until 313 A.D. when the Edict of Milan was issued by the emperors Constantine I and Licinius, which basically made Christianity the religion of the empire. It became legal. But as you read the broader context in 1 Peter, regardless of the precise historical context, we find that Christians often were criticized, and we can be subject to harm, subject to persecution and comments, if at least verbal, if not physical action. And so it's in this context where we read these words. We're told, having told them not to be troubled or worried, he says in verse 15, in your hearts, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So what's the subject in this text? What is God speaking to us about this morning here? It's really about you and I preparing ourselves for people who are inquiring as to why we're hopeful. Why is it that in your life circumstance, there is something that you have that keeps you moving forward and with a positive spirit? Really, if this is about you and me, and of course the first century Christians who were scattered throughout and written to Christians scattered throughout what would be now modern Turkey area and the various towns there. And it's about us getting prepared as God brings people right next to us in our workplace, in our community. They may know their names. They may be related to you. They may be strangers. But someone inquiring why it is that you are a hopeful person. Instead of us thinking this way, as we, myself included, sometimes find ourselves thinking, I hope he doesn't ask me anything about what I believe. Ever feel that way? You know, we're thinking, I'm not an evangelist. We start thinking, I don't know if I can say the right words. I don't know exactly what to say. And how will she receive what I'm going to tell her if I say something? How's that going to come down? What's that going to do with our relationship? Wouldn't it be great if we thought this way? We woke up in the morning, we went to the workplace, we're in the community. I hope somebody asked me today about my hope. You do have a hope, don't you? You do have a hope. Isn't that what's brought you here? Isn't that what I'm preaching about this morning? The hope that's in you and me. The hope that's available for you who find yourself discouraged but keeps you coming back. Wouldn't it be great if we thought this way? I hope somebody asked me not just why I'm hopeful, but they want me to sit down and go at length, tell me exactly what it is that keeps you moving forward, and how can I get that for myself? For myself. Wish we could wake up in the morning and go out through our day with this attitude, I'm glad you asked. And I hope as many people as possible today would ask me. So how do we prepare ourselves? Should God put someone next to you to ask you for the hope that you have? Well, it gets down to ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Your heart needs to be ready. Your head needs to be set. And then you just go with your mouth. Your mouth goes. If your heart's ready and your head's set, and by faith you go as God brings someone right next to you. And I'm praying He'll bring a lot of people next to us. First of all, get ready. He says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. In your hearts, that's the ESV translation, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Let's talk about that for a minute. Honor Christ the Lord. Basically, this is really a heart issue. It's a matter of putting Christ first in your heart. That's simply what we need to do. Because there's all these other things that want to get up on the throne of our heart. He says, I want your honor, your reverence, your priority to be Christ the Lord. So we allow Christ to sit on the throne of our hearts. You know, see, Christianity is, you know, it's more than a book. It's more than a creed. It's more than some words of orthodoxy. And I trust that more and more we get our thinking correct, that we are able to articulate and know what's right and wrong and be able to make those expressions. But Christianity is more than just being able to write our names at the bottom of all the correct answer and say, here's my test paper, I got them all right. But then our heart is like somewhere else. You know the disconnect. Isn't that the struggle in life? It's keeping the heart right with God. I believe that's how we begin to prepare. And I think that's what he's talking about in this text, is keeping Christ the Lord first in your heart. Keep giving him that place of honor. Because there are so many other attractive things that compete for him and begin to win our hearts. So we need to like gently push those aside. Say, thank you, Lord. I love that blessing, but, you know, I love you more. In your heart, set apart, honor Christ as holy. When he says that, realize who it is that our Lord Jesus is. He is holy. He is. To what can you compare him? He excels to every comparison. He surpasses. He's different. He's superior in every way. There are two helpful words here. If we're going to get our hearts prepared, so when someone sits next to us and says, tell me something about your hope, there's two helpful words here to get our hearts prepared. Notice what he says. He says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. So, what do we think about when we think about this Jesus? He's the Christ. Right? He's the Christ. What is the Christ? It's the Greek for he's the anointed. He is the chosen one. This Jesus that you've connected to is the one that history has been waiting for, that God has promised, the one who would save the human race from the death and decay that we all are experiencing and would give us a future. He is God's anointed, the chosen one, if you will. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's God's final solution, the consolation of Israel. But he's also not only the Christ, as you said, part Christ the Lord, or honor Christ the Lord. He is the Lord. Not just the anointed, not just the Christ, but he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why he has to sit on our hearts. Which basically means it's a matter of your will. He's ruling and reigning in the universe. The question is, are you happy? And you say, Lord, rule and reign over my heart. Be the Lord of me today. You see, and sometimes we're not ready to share our faith or to say a word. Why is that? Because something else is sitting on the throne. You understand? Why would you want to say something? If something else is bigger than the Lord himself, then you're more interested in this other thing. So we've got to be prepared. We're going to be ready, then we've got to make sure that we've basically, it gets down to confession, recognizing something's on your heart that shouldn't be there in front of Christ, and you'd like to say, Lord, it's there. Now I'm going to push it aside the best I can. Now I subject my heart to you again. That's simple. It's confession and repentance, and so that Christ is refreshed in your hearts so that your heart's prepared. If indeed Christ has rescued you from your sins, and God's going to use you in a meaningful way, then we need to have our hearts ready. Now, he says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Then he says, always be prepared to give an answer. I've slightly revised a little bit. Always prepare. The word is apology or apologia, which can mean be translated defense, but can also simply mean to give a reason or to give an answer to someone or anyone who asked you. And so now we're moving away from the heart, so to speak, to the head. Now, we've got our heart ready. You're right with God. Nothing interfering with you, right? So now, is your head ready? We're going to say something to someone. It means something in a way that's helpful. Then we need to think about that a little beforehand. So, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you. And so, you're on the elevator. Did you take an elevator this morning? I doubt it. Maybe. but probably your workplace or last week. How many took an elevator last week? How many's ever been on an elevator? How many don't know what an elevator is? Never. All right. So, she's going to the third floor. You got on the ground level. So you got about 30 seconds. And there they are in the elevator. And they said, hey, you got a smile on your face today. What's that about? What are you going to say? You weren't prepared for that question, were you? But there it is. Now you got to deal with it. That's an easy one, isn't it? But what are you going to say? Have you put any thought into it? You just say, oh, man, I had a nice big bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios. That's why I'm smiling. That might be okay to say that once in a while, but you know, you may never see this person again. Is that all you're going to feed them? Some Cheerios? Maybe you have something a little sweeter than that. You thought about it. 30 seconds. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, a reason for the hope within you. What if a friend shows up at your house and she's hungry? An old friend you hadn't seen in a while. They're hungry. You're going to turn them away. Are you going to give them a little manna from heaven? God calls us to be prepared, our hearts ready, our heads going to be set. Is your head set to give them some manna from heaven? How many of you like to cook? How many of you like to eat? That would be me. Not always. But if it's really good, I'm interested. So, and maybe you can't cook that good. I don't know. I bet you almost everybody in here could cook one thing half decent. You probably got a favorite dish or two, right? The guests come over, you're going to serve that dish. And when they come over, you've learned how to pull out the rosemary or the, you know, the sage or the thyme or the dill or, you know, the chili powder and the curry and the ginger, hopefully not all in the same dish. But, you know, you sprinkle that on there. And you're going to serve up, at least you got one good dish there. And for some of you, you've got two, three, four, five, maybe half a dozen. Because you've gotten well trained. You've learned how to prepare when somebody shows up. When they come, you say, this is what I'm going to cook. Some of you say, well, I've got one dish I can cook. The others, I have half a dozen, I think. Should I give them the best or almost the next the best? Or then you start thinking, what would they like? Maybe I can have a lot of freedom here to really tailor make something for them. Those who thought it through more and prepared more. And so, but it takes some practice. You need to open the cookbook a little bit, you know. Study the ingredients and think about that and ahead of time. Because people will show up. And some of us are open for invitations. So let me give you an analogy here to help us. As we're talking about get ready, get our hearts ready, get our minds set. We're preparing the mind as well as the heart, getting the heart and the mind set. So I knew of a young boy. I don't know how old he was. I think he was around 8 or 9 at the time. And this young lad, he stayed over a friend's house. The first night, I believe, this child stayed at somebody else's house. Had a bad experience. Someone had turned on the movies, probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. Scary movie. Probably some blood trickling down. You know, black and white, it wasn't quite as bad, but today we have color TV. Supposed to be a joke, a terrible joke. But so the kids like He doesn't want to watch a movie. In fact, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He wants to be in bed. Nobody's sleeping. There's like a party, pajama party. I guess you can have those for guys. I don't know. But his kid's wanting to go to bed. He doesn't want a scary movie. Can't seem to get the TV off. Nobody's listening. He just basically walks home in the middle of the night. Doesn't tell anybody. Just leaves the house. After that, the kid wouldn't stay anyplace. He doesn't want to sleep over at anybody's house. Bad experience, you see. You get into a situation, you freak out, you just run away from the freaky situation, and you don't want to get back in that situation again, you know? Kind of like somebody sitting down wants to hear about certain things that you might have to share. So, anyway, so the parents, being the wise parents that they were, they take this child to a counselor because they're not too smart to give the answers. They can't fix the problem. Phobias are hard to make them go away, you know. Start getting one of those things. So the counselor said, hey, talk to the young child and says, now let's rethink this situation. What could you have done differently? The child came up with answers themselves. You know, well, let's see. I could have, like, woke up the mom and dad and said, hey, you know, can you get your son, turn this TV off, send us all to bed? I could have, like, called home and said, mom, dad, come get me. I don't like this scary situation I'm in. You know, I could have, like, gone in the other room and tried to read a book or ripped away one of the pillows and went and sleeped on the floor somewhere else. I came up with, you know, 4, 5, 6 different possible solutions. You know, think about these things ahead of time. So that way you find yourself in a situation like that. You don't have to walk a half a mile across the Beltway bridge and go home. And nobody knows where you are. Preparing ahead of time. Are you prepared? Should someone sit down beside you, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you, or anyone who asked you, for a reason for the hope that you have? You know what I like about this passage? You don't have to give a speech. You don't have to give a lecture. You don't have to know the 4 spiritual laws. You don't have to know the 5 parts of the evangelism explosion. It's interesting. If you translate this, they are ready to give an answer. Everyone who asked you to give a reason. Literally in the Greek, it's a word. To give a word. So, if you only had a word, one word, what word would you give? Why are you hopeful? One word. Would you say forgiven? And then maybe tack on a few more. I am forgiven. That happened in 1985. Well, how did that happen? Then you can put some more words. You know? Maybe you're going to say joy. I am happier now in this new life than I was in the old one. Maybe your word's going to be joy. What word are you going to choose? Is it going to be peace? Maybe it'll be the word sleep. I can finally sleep at night because I found something. Someone. And I can rest my head on him. Are you prepared to give a word? And you know the neat thing I find, the more you meet Christians, that for each of us the word's slightly different, has a little different color. And you can give your own word in the way Christ has touched your heart. And that can change from season to season. It may be simply the word endurance, you know, strength. You know, I don't know how I can do it. Like, I got this horrible job. But somehow, I find the strength to keep coming back, you know? And He gives me the strength. That's your word. But you need to prepare, get your mind set on what you're going to say as God puts someone next to you and wants to know how you handle life the way you do. You know, we have a hope. Our Christianity is all about hope. And what we're talking about here is getting your mind set to talk about the hope that you have. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope." And there are many, many more scriptures that remind us that we have a hope. The question is your heart ready? Is your mind set to speak a word about the hope that's in you? As I said, I don't think we're doing nearly so well as we ought to be doing here in the West. In fact, I have a friend who just, he told me not too long ago, he said, "I've basically decided that I'm just going to follow Christ on my own and I'm not going to talk anymore about it because there's too many problems." You know, I like this passage. I like cool things. Things that are cool. I like Robin Mark's song, "Take Us to the River." I think it's a cool song. I like hot air balloons. They're cool. I like puppies and little kittens. Those are cool. I like people who know how to say please and thank you in the year 2013. I like a football team that knows how to win. And a Christian who's not embarrassed to say the name Jesus. That's cool. That is really cool. I think Christ thinks it's cool. You know, someone says, "I'm not an evangelist. And I worry about having the right words. And I worry about being rejected. But now, I'm learning that the most loving thing that I can do is to say a word to somebody else who needs to hear it, especially when they're interested, when they ask why I have a hope within me." And of course, that calls courage, doesn't it? It calls for courage. It calls for faith. It calls for wisdom. It calls for preparation. You know, but our Lord Jesus said in Mark 8, He says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." 2 Timothy 1:8, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Well, I think we'll conclude here. I'll just remind you about Polycarp. Some of you know about him. He was an older man. He was discipled by the Apostle John. And he was martyred in 155 A.D. And he was 86 years old. And at the time, the Christians were being persecuted for identifying with Christ. And many were told to deny him, not to associate, but to speak about him with their mouths. And they wanted to have mercy on Polycarp because he was an older guy. And so they gave him a chance to deny Christ so that he wouldn't have to be burned or killed. And he said this. He says, I've served my Lord for 86 years. He's done me no harm. How can I deny my King who has saved me? How can he possibly deny Christ who has forgiven him from his sins and given him the hope of eternal life? And this passage really, when you think about it, is not even coming close to us worrying about persecution. It's not even talking about somebody like Polycarp. It's talking about someone who comes to you and asks you. They want to hear from you. And God, I believe, wants to put people in your life and is putting people all around you. The question is your heart ready? Is your mind set? And will your mouth go? After all, look how far he has gone for you. Our Father, we bow before you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. The infinite God who cannot die takes to himself human flesh. Lord, that you could take up our cause and go to forgive us our sins, to give us a hope that now rests in us. And Lord, we all pray that you'd use this message to help our hearts stay prepared, our minds set. And as you bring people into our lives, we want to know why we're hopeful. Give us the courage, the obedience, the faithfulness to go with joy. Give a reason for the hope that's within us. And help us to do it with respect and gentleness. In Christ's name we pray, amen.